In this lecture, we turn now to the description of the misuse of the energy of the Thumicon, which is described in early Christian literature as achidia, or sometimes pronounced as acidi or achadia. The pronunciation isn't all that important, although it could be helpful for us to remember that this was still an English word that had meaning, even in the early part of the 20th century, even though it's fallen out of common use in the latter part of the century and is really no longer well understood at all. But it is an English word, and that's the reason I haven't tried to give another equivalent for it. The other reason is that in the later tradition, this monastic vice of achidia is often associated with the notion of sloth or laziness. And unfortunately, that's only a partial description of this misuse of this very powerful and important energy. And part of describing the overall understanding of achidia is the reason for this first page, in addition to describing some of the biblical terms that refer to the cure or healing of achidia, or at least its counteracting. Let's look first at the section marked number 1, General Reflections on Achidia's Zeal and Perseverance. In this section, I've tried to highlight what we will see in more detail, especially in Evagrius and Cassian, and that is that this vice does not refer only to what we might today be tempted to call laziness. In fact, it has both an agitated and what one might call a depressed form. On the one hand, it can refer to sloth or to a certain kind of spiritual weariness. Aquinas cites Damascene in terms of its being a weariness in the face of work. But Evagrius points out that this, if you will, weariness or unwillingness, or one might even go so far as to call it a distaste for work, and this is not only manual labor. In the spiritual sense, it applies even more specifically to the spiritual work of being about the things of God. This is a profound distaste for, or active, energetic dislike for, precisely the things that will help to make us holy. It's a kind of apathy or active disengagement from the things which we at some level know are the activities that will tend to draw us nearer to God. So it's a paradoxical revulsion for the very things that will cause us to have sharpened or deepened desire. And it is a very common phenomenon. Evagrius points out that it can manifest itself either as simple weariness, a lack of desire to do one's spiritual tasks. I don't want to pray those awful psalms anymore. I'd rather do anything other than engage in the spiritual work that will help me become a better person. And a sense of listlessness that is associated with that, or it can have a more agitative or active form. I can do anything and everything that will keep me from that. I'll do anything except pray. I'll prepare a table and hope that people will come and visit me, and I'll have the opportunity to show hospitality. I can be busied about everything except the thing that will actually draw me nearer to God. So there is both an agitated and a depressed form of this vice. And the simplest description of its cure or its remedy is to be found in that first saying from the collections of the Desert Fathers describing Abba Antony, in which he sees the vision of the angel that looks like him, that invites him simply to engage in normal, ordinary working tasks and pray during them. Stop every once in a while and offer a prayer to God. That combining your work with gentle prayer, being about the ordinary tasks of one's life and allowing them also to be, as it were, seasoned by short, brief prayers is the best way of dealing with this problem of achidia. So as we'll see in Cassian, he particularly emphasizes the necessity for getting back to work, but a work that includes prayer. Now, we turn in our second and third sections of this introduction to two different kinds of word groups. The first having to do with Greek words for zeal and eagerness, zelos and spoudai. And one has to admit that both these words can be used in a positive and a negative sense, especially in the scriptures. If we look first at zeal, at zelos, we discover that its primary meaning is a passionate state of commitment, a zeal of imitation, or even rivalry. It can degenerate or become a kind of a negative energy in the sense of contention or jealousy. And in the Septuagint, that is to say the Old Testament, a form of the Old Testament, one has a sense of intensity in the divine action. It's primarily used of God's zeal for his people. God is zealous, or even one might say jealous, for the people whom God is saving and has saved. In the New Testament, it has this same kind of dual or two-pronged notion. It can refer to the zeal manifested in the cleansing of the temple, although that's not used of Jesus himself. It's used of the disciples' recollection of this event primarily. It can also be used in a negative sense, that those who oppose Jesus are zealous for their own religious tradition, and in a certain sense eager to defend it against what they see as the heresy that Jesus is bringing. In St. Paul, we see a beautiful shift and transition to the possibility of the apostle or the disciple taking on the zeal of God for his people. And so this becomes a word for an energy that is actively, eagerly committed to concern for the people whom God has saved. And to this extent, it represents a kind of an opposite energy, or a kind of an opposite use of this powerful energy that is represented by the vice of acidia. The other term that is used in the New Testament to describe this energy of commitment or eagerness is spoudē, which can mean eagerness, but comes from an earlier form of words that actually mean haste, or hastening along, actively, energetically being about something. It can mean a desire. It can be translated simply as zeal in the later Old Testament writings. And in the New Testament, it has a sense of eagerness, of strenuous or zealous effort, particularly in St. Paul, a description of his own zeal for or commitment to or energetic action in regard to the life of the Christian community. And Kittle summarizes the use of this word by saying that it is the expression, the total conduct of the Christian in the sense of actualizing their salvation. If we are living out our covenant of salvation by Christ, we will be zealous, eager for doing the work of God. The other word group that is important in our consideration of the vice of acidia is the word hypomone, or perseverance. Sometimes it seems like it's impossible to recapture this energy of eagerness or zeal, and instead the only thing one can do is to simply patiently endure. And I've given here a discussion of the notion under number 3 of perseverance. I've given a discussion of what this means both in classical tradition and in particular in the Old and New Testaments. Perseverance has to do with a willingness to be committed even in the face of opposition. There is a perseverance to the end that has to do with the later notion of final perseverance even unto death. In the Rule of Saint Benedict, the idea of persevering usque ad mortem, of remaining in the monastery, in the place that may even become distasteful, because there it is that God has summoned us to relationship with others for our own salvation and for the consecration of those with whom we live. One might be tempted to equate this perseverance with something like the spiritual warfare that we looked at when we considered the misuse of the energy of thumos and the notion of anger or rage. But it's important to remember that for the Christian, perseverance means perseverance in doing good, continuing to do the work of God. And that's why I've given that picture at the very top of this page, that is the very beautiful illustration from the Belles Heures of John the Duke of Berry, of Christ in the garden, surrounded by those, and you might want to go to the very top of the page again, surrounded by those who are zealous for his destruction, Judas on the one hand, the soldiers on the other, Peter leader who is misusing the zeal or energy or enthusiasm of his own commitment to Christ in an act of violence, in the midst of all of that, Christ manifests the real energy of patient endurance, of hypomone, which is not simply enduring, but is reaching out and doing good. Christ reaches out with a healing hand and restores the man whom Peter has attacked, whose ear Peter has cut off. This is Christian patient endurance. Not merely battening down the hatches and simply enduring, but continuing to reach out and do good even in the face of forces that are aligned against one. And this is the possibility of a zealous commitment to the work of God, even though one is struggling with this vice of acedia, which seeks to make distasteful the work of God and invite one to engage in everything except the things that will consecrate and heal the life. Our icon is Christ, who continues to reach out in healing, even though surrounded by the forces that would seek to transform this this powerful energy into one either of destruction or of empty despair.